Today is June 28th, 2006. Could you state your name, please?
I'm Zach Lipton.
And Zach, when did you first begin using computers?
Using computers, maybe when I was about 4 years old. I got my first computer when I was, my family got its first computer when I was 5 years old.
And what kind of computer was it? And do you remember the first sort of programming project that you used?
It was a Mac, an LC2, mm-hmm. with 8 megs of RAM and an 80 meg hard disk, top of the line at the time. And I guess the first real programming project, I got involved in an after-school basic class that a teacher at school taught in second grade.
Oh. And have you had any sort of formal training outside of that, or are you mostly self-taught?
Not a whole lot. More recent, mostly self-taught from, you know, books and websites. And one thing that's so great is working with Mozilla projects is that you have something real to teach yourself with. You have actual working examples that you can take and work with rather than just sort of these abstract things in books. More recently, I have done some more formal instruction with Java and some areas, but it's primarily self-taught.
And is Mozilla the first open source project you got involved in?
Yes.
And have you been involved in any other open source
I've been involved in minor ways with the Perl project, and I did a little bit with OpenOffice when it first started, but beyond that, pretty much Mozilla would be.
And when did you start working with Mozilla?
Would have been in 2001, and I would have been, it was the summer before I was in seventh grade.
And you started off volunteering?
Yes, I volunteered, sort of started, downloaded a build that was, you know, just sort of a nightly build, or maybe a milestone. At that point, it was long before there was an actual sort of shipping product people could use, and played with it a little bit and found a bug and kind of got into the QA, the quality assurance committee, from there.
So did you find it sort of difficult to enter into the community, or was there a lot of preparation you needed to do before you started actually contributing?
Not really. From the development side, there is, because it's such a huge code base. It's a really hard project to work on. On the QA side, it's not so much, because if you know how to use computers, you're comfortable using a web browser, then it's just a matter of sort of applying that and trying to break this thing, but could sort of learn things as you go. Mm-hmm. So, no, it wasn't particularly.
Mm-hmm. How has your role sort of changed over time?
Well, I mean, I guess it's sort of been more formalized in that this summer and then last summer I've been working here as an employee of the Mozilla Corporation, which has been great to be able to do and been able to take on more projects. I've also shifted a lot into the tools side of things. I've worked on Bugzilla, which is the Mozilla's bug tracking software, for a number of years, and also now on Litmus, which is this new tool I've been developing to manage testing and manage all of our test cases. So it's sort of nice because I get to combine kind of the programming aspect with the QA and testing mm-hmm. side of things.
And what would you say is the primary reason you decided to volunteer?
I guess there's something, you know, at least initially, where, you know, if you're 13, 14, you're interested in computers and, you know, what really can you do? This is one of those areas where, I guess, you know, the old saying on the internet, no one knows you're a dog, is kind of true, and that you can go and really be treated as, you're treated based on the merit of your work and what you're able to contribute, not who you are or what you've done in the past or anything like that. So, you know, it was really something where I was able to make a substantial contribution to a real project that other people use. And there's something really satisfying about that.
Do you get the sense that that's why others volunteer? Or do you think there are like a range of reasons why?
I think that that's one of the main ones, is that especially Firefox is so popular now, is that you know lots of people who use the product that you help make, and you talk to them, and they complain to you if something doesn't work right. And, you know, there's that sort of motivation that what you make is something that people are going to use and you know them, rather than just sort of abstract concept of releasing things that go off into a black hole.
And how do you generally communicate with those who you work with? No, you're not. You don't live in.
I do live in. I live in San Francisco, I'm here in the office during the summer, but during the school year, I'm not, obviously. So Mozilla is such a distributed organization that there's people who are paid employees, who some of them are in the office, some of them are all over the world, and then there's contributors from all over the world in different time zones. So obviously IRC, Internet Relay Chat, is a major component in that, and email, and telephones as well in some cases. But, you know, maintain a pretty constant level of discussion with people you're working with.
And do you find that any particular mode of communication works better than others?
I'm a big fan of IRC. I'll admit it can be fairly distracting and that it's easy to get into just sort of fun conversations that have nothing to do with any productive purpose whatsoever. But it's so immediate just to be able to ask someone something, get a quick answer, and talk to them in real time. And you can copy and paste things directly to them, which you can't do in a phone call. So.
And when you're working sort of in groups with people, how is the division of labor generally determined? Who decides, how is it decided who works on what?
It tends to be, I mean, because when you're talking about volunteers, volunteers tend not to like to be told what they should do for obvious good reasons. So it really is, it's pretty open in that people tend to gravitate towards what interests them the most. Obviously, within the office, within sort of the corporate structure, there's some degree of you do this part of this and you do that. But still, even there, it's, you know, sort of people let their interests and what excites them guide them towards areas. And certainly within the community, people sort of find a little niche of, you know, this is the feature I like to work on, or this is the sub-project that I'm excited to work on, and they'll kind of become responsible for that area.
So when somebody's responsible for a particular area and, say, for whatever reason, that person leaves, either leaves the project or goes to another, then how does somebody else sort of step into the leadership role?
I guess, I mean, sometimes it's more formalized in that there'll be kind of an official, you know, okay, you're the module owner for Bugzilla and you're in charge of the bug tracking system and coordinate that work. And if that person leaves, then someone else who's already sort of established as a strong developer in that area would take it over and kind of get that official title. In a lot of areas where there's not necessarily an official title that you have, you're in charge of this. It's just much more organic, and people will kind of fill in too.
Do you find that process works generally? Do you think that, you know, sort of letting it play itself out in that way is efficient?
It does. I mean, sometimes I guess, you know, on the development side, there are issues in that there's things that aren't necessarily quite as fun to do as others. So I guess one could say that there are holes that get left. But, you know, all in all, yes, people cover a pretty wide range of jobs and areas of the project.
How important do you think comments in the code are to sort of smooth development?
I don't do a whole lot on the actual product development side. I do some. I do more sort of QA for the product and then development of tools. From what I've seen, they vary. I mean, sometimes there's useful comments, but I think people are tending towards documentation that's a little more substantial on like developer.mozilla.org, devmo, things like that, rather than comments, because comments are inaccessible to people who aren't developers. So if I want to know how you know, the new search plugin interface works. I'm not going to read through the code to look for a comment. I want some sort of actual documentation that's going to tell me that. So I think there's been a shift in focus to provide more of that.
To what extent would you say Mozilla relies on the work of volunteers?
A lot. Now there are more sort of paid people that are coming on board as the corporation grows. But, you know, Mozilla would not be what it is without volunteers and also people who are not part of the Mozilla Corporation but who are paid to work on Mozilla for their employer, like Red Hat or IBM or Sun or other corporations that sort of have people devoted to specific areas of Mozilla. But, you know, if Mozilla was sort of a closed source product, it would not be able to happen with this many people just here.
Have you ever noticed sort of like natural disagreements or tensions between those who work on the front end and those who work on the back end? Or maybe a better way to put it is sort of how much communication and coordination is there between these two groups?
I see it somewhat from the testing side in that sometimes there's things where I'll see that someone's made changes on the back end that aren't reflected in the front end yet, or vice versa, where, you know, things are broken because that link didn't happen yet, but obviously that gets fixed before we ship. But sometimes there are, you know, one piece of that will land in the code and the other side won't be ready, won't go in until that's done. So there's a couple days where that's sort of missing from there.
So I'm sorry, what year did you say you began working?
Would have been
2001. So during the early development of Firefox, I understand like UI development was restricted to a small team of people. From your understanding, why did that take place and what do you think that was a good way to produce that?
I think so. I mean, I think what happened was when Firefox started, it was sort of this skunkworks project to very quickly come up with something that was the antithesis of the Netscape browser. Netscape marketing had done so much to monetize the browser, I guess you could say, to try and put in all these features that users didn't want, but that would lead to revenue streams or that would make the browser seem cooler than it was or whatever whims they had in mind on a particular day. And there were a lot of people at Netscape who were pretty frustrated with this and a lot of people in the community who were frustrated with just sort of the state of the hugely bloated interface that was the Mozilla browser. So I think that the motivation for keeping the UI team really close-knit was to resist influence from outside forces to say, no, you need this, no, you need that. Because that's one thing is, you know, no one's ever said that design by committee works well, but in open source, that's kind of what you've got, except that everyone is part of the committee and everyone thinks they're a UI designer. So keeping it closed, at least initially, meant that they could say, okay, this is what we're starting with. It's really stripped down. It's really limited, which I think has helped to make Firefox really popular. People don't want tools to create web pages built in the web browser. People don't want email and news groups and chat client and all this stuff built into the web browser. They just want a really simple, small, sleek, fast browser like Firefox. Now, I think certainly stuff has been opened up more. There's sort of a UI review process, but it's not quite as territorial as it was initially.
So would you say that Firefox has enjoyed sort of popularity because it was focused on the end user?
Definitely. Where maybe the initial Mozilla browser, there were, you know, users were obviously a concern, but sort of the initial spec for that was driven by Netscape marketing. Firefox came from sort of this idea of let's take as much out as is possible and still have a working usable browser.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of role do you think marketing is playing to the success of Firefox?
I think so much of the success of Firefox is it's really user to user. It's I guess like Apple, we've enjoyed a certain degree of, one could say, religion around Firefox, that people see Firefox and they say, wow, this is awesome, I'm going to tell everyone else about it. And they do, often at great lengths. And, you know, most of the sort of successful marketing efforts have come from people, they put links on their blogs, they tell their friends, they pay money to put an ad in the New York Times, they do these things. We're only just now getting into sort of more organized, more traditional forms of marketing. But I think that kind of the person-to-person contact is still the best way to, the word of mouth is still the best way to spread it.
And do you think that like grassroots marketing techniques are part of an open source, like a larger open source movement? Or do you think it's kind of not a good parallel to open source software?
It's hard to say because honestly, I think, you know, out of the millions of users we have, I'm not sure even that a great percentage understands we're open source. And of that, I'm not, you know, convinced that that many of them really understand what it means. I think, you know, sort of these ideas of freedom and openness do resonate. But right now, I think for average users, they're downloading it because they like the product, not because it's open source.
And this is sort of broad, but sure. How would you define a successful open source project?
It is a broad question. I mean, I guess it can come on several layers. To me, you can have a successful open source project where, you know, I guess I would say where you've built something, you've learned from it, and at least one other person has taken advantage of it in some way. I think that that's important because the whole idea of open source is that people can come and use what you've created. So certainly Mozilla's done that, and they've, you know, we've had people come in and use our platform to build their products. And there's something satisfying about making something that other people can benefit from in some way. So for me, that's what it is.
How would you list Mozilla's priorities? And have you seen sort of a change or a shift at all since you've been working on it?
I think starting from the formation of the foundation, well, I mean, Mozilla's priority has always been to sort of this lofty goal of promoting choice and innovation on the internet in some way, shape, or form. I think initially, back in from sort of the release of the code, it was much more about technology and creating this technology platform. And while we're still about that, starting with Firefox, it's been far more user-focused, where it's not necessarily about pleasing the most intense power user, though we have ways for them to be happy, but about creating something which the majority of the people who use the web can and want to use.
Do you consider... But
I guess I'd also say that Mozilla has become much more product-focused before, where sort of when Mozilla was being initially developed, it was about creating this, you know, Gecko, this whole new rendering engine, and this whole new project, where, you know, nothing from scratch essentially, and the actual product that it resulted in was really just a test bed for that project, but it wasn't about creating a product for people to use. Well, now it's really about creating products that end users can download and use.
And why do you think the focus on marketing has mainly been on one product instead of all the other Mozilla
products? I think Firefox is something that's easy for people to understand and easy for people to get behind. In terms of other products, there's some that are really oriented towards developers, like Bugzilla, which Bugzilla's done very well with, you know, really no actual marketing because, you know, it's being used by a couple hundred major companies, which is great. But it's not something that we do anything to promote. It's some, you know, it's a tool that's out there. It's one of the top bug open source bug tracking systems, and people use it. Thunderbird, I guess I'd feel that it's not quite there. It doesn't really have the resources in terms of development devoted to it that Firefox does. So I think it's just somewhat of a level of, this is what we have, this is what works really well, and this is what people really seem to like. So it's what we're going to market as well as we can.
Do you consider open source software as a public service?
I do, but I guess the reason why I'm involved in open source software is because I like it and I learn from it. It's, for me, much more of a, I guess it's kind of selfish, but it's much more of a personal thing for me that as a developer, how much I'm able to, you know, there's something as a student where if you're doing, you're learning to program, you're doing software development projects, you can do things kind of by yourself where you make these little examples and, you know, no one else really sees them and you just stick them someplace and that's okay. But with open source, you get to work with other people in a team, which is so wonderful because that's what programming is about. You're not just doing it by yourself. You have to know how to split up a project and work with others and plan and collaborate. But you also get to work on something that other people are going to use. So I really get that benefit out of it.
And what do you think the popularity of Firefox either has or will do for open source as a whole?
I mean, there was sort of, I guess, when a couple years ago when Linux was this giant thing no one had ever heard of, and it was the cover of every magazine, and that idea when sort of there was this, what is open source, and people began to understand this. I think now people know what it is, they're familiar with it. Mozilla kind of has proved that you can bring open source to the desktop. You can have open source software that average end users who use, you know, Microsoft Windows and Office and just sort of a normal environment will want to download and use. But Mozilla, it's different from some other open source projects in that there is a fair amount of central, there always has been central coordination of it, whether it was Netscape or now the Mozilla Corporation, where there is sort of a group of people directly and officially responsible for it. Well, other open source projects, they may have a maintainer or several maintainers, but there's not kind of one organization that directly runs it. And I think that is something which has helped a lot of end users, help spur end users to actually use the product. We have a real marketing department. We have an actual marketing department, people paid full-time to do that who are in the same place and can work together. We have full-time paid developers, but and management. But so I guess I'm not sure whether our model necessarily applies to a lot of other open source projects.
Do you think that model, though, is sort of crucial for longevity?
I like it because there is a certain degree of stability to it, and I think that for a project this large, you kind of need some sort of more formal coordination than just people running around and emailing each other willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. But it's not quite as organic as other open source projects are.
And what do you think the future of open source is?
Future of open source. Such a lofty question. I guess I don't think it's going away, certainly. There's been, you know, so much of a push with Linux on servers and trying to get Linux out to the desktop. I think that you're going to see more companies developing software look to figure out how they can tap into open source and how they can just release their products as open source. They, you know, and why not? I guess you see it as sort of free money almost, in that, hey, if we do this thing, it means that random people on the internet are going to come and help us out. So I think you'll see a lot more of that in the future.
And do you think open source techniques can be applied to other areas of production in society, or I think it's sort of limited to software?
I mean, software is sort of unique in that there's this distinction between here's your source code and here's your binary, and there's a very clear idea of what open source means. But I guess maybe not necessarily the idea of open source, but openness in general certainly can be applied to lots of things. And I think the groups like Creative Commons, who have sort of taken an open source model for copyright in general, have done that. I think that there's general efforts to encourage openness in pretty much every area. And that's certainly a good thing. I guess in Mozilla, we struggle a lot with openness because it's hard to be transparent. Just naturally, you're going to talk to the person who sits, you know, in the same building as you about an issue rather than involve the broader community without sort of this conscious effort to go out there and really be transparent and open. But
so do you think it's a balance that a lot of people are trying to strike?
I'm not sure if it's so much a balance, because I think there aren't people who say this should be a closed project and it should just be the people here. Certainly people value contributions from those who are outside the corporation, but it's just hard. It requires time and effort to be open and transparent. And I guess the default sometimes, just out of simplicity, is to be closed, mm-hmm. which doesn't particularly work in the project's favor. But
do you find it more difficult as more people work on it? The more people who are involved, it's more difficult to be transparent?
Well, I mean, I guess there was sort of a dip in that originally when Netscape ran the project, there were a lot of things that weren't transparent because it was, a big software development team working sort of in one place under one architecture of management. When Mozilla split off from Netscape and the foundation was founded, it became a lot more open because there were now very few actual employees. Started with 4, I think. So pretty much everything was open just out of necessity. Anyone who was going to work on this needed to be able to participate fully. And now, certainly it hasn't gone nearly as far, but it's swung a bit the other way, in that with more people sort of under this umbrella of the corporation, it's easy to forget that when you're talking to this group of people, that you're not talking to certain community members who might be affected, or that there's community members who might want to be able to do more but have sort of been pigeonholed a bit out of that role because they're not part of the corporation. Mm-hmm. So
what's next for you? Did you just complete high school?
I just graduated high school. I just graduated high school in the beginning of June, and I'll be a freshman at Cornell in the fall.
Great. So. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Do you plan to continue to work for Mozilla?
Definitely. I'm going to be, here at the corporation through the end of the summer, and then I'll be doing a computer science major at Cornell, and, hope to contribute as much as I can. I don't know, time-wise, right, how that will work. There's obviously a lot to juggle, but.
Well, that's great. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.